It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas. It is 12 o'clock on this Friday, August 21st, 2020. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Hello again, everybody. Dan Duva, Shane Knighty with you today. We'll take it right up until 1 o'clock with lots to discuss. Who will the Golden Knights face in round two? We don't have an answer to that. Do we know when the Knights will start round two? Not quite, but we have some possibilities. We'll find out. We'll look around the National Hockey League, the other series, a couple of games going on today, and we also will have a special guest, Eric Tosi, Vegas Golden Knights Vice President of Communications and Content. He'll be joining us in about a half an hour's time with a special announcement. So Eric will be here live, and we will find out exactly what that special announcement is. So stay tuned. Again, Eric Tosi will be joining us live in the studio at just about 12:30. And so, good afternoon, Sheriff Shane Knighty. How are you?
Good, Dan. I think it's the first time you and I have been on radio together. We've had different units working. This is the first time we've had this combination.
We've got a cavalcade of characters on the broadcast side of things.
I didn't know that word until it came right before the playoffs or the bubble scenario. Yeah. A cavalcade.
Cavalcade. It sounds entertaining.
I like it.
And it's got alliteration with characters. We've got so many folks involved. It's been a lot of fun to get to do some shows and talk with, say, Gary Lawless last week and hear you and Dave and Stormy and Mike McKenna. And, yeah, so they saved us for this Friday with the most amount of time in between games for the Golden Knights since, you know, the NHL pause. It's been a few days since the Golden Knights defeated the Chicago Blackhawks in Game 5, and it feels like we're on, like, some exodus from hockey play-by-play, and it's only been a couple of days since they won it on Tuesday.
Yeah, it hasn't been a long time, and it's been strange because, you know, up until that point, you were still having – now it's just two games a day. It's kind of – you know, I've gotten used to being able to watch multiple games, more than two. But that said, I've been so intrigued by this whole playoff tournament style, first round, right from round robin, play-in series to now round one. It's been great hockey, and I think it's been getting better and better as they go along and the players get more comfortable. Tremendous historic game last night between the Flames and the Stars. And, of course, tonight we talked about the Golden Knights. All eyes will be certainly on that Canucks-St. Louis series, as the winner of that series will be who the Golden Knights face.
So we'll get to everything going around the National Hockey League. There's lots of series. So let's first tell you what happened yesterday, which was Thursday the 20th. First of all, despite Washington surviving in its Game 4 against the Islanders, New York Islanders shut out the Washington Capitals 4-0 to clinch that series. Then later on, after Calgary starts out with a 3-0 lead, Dallas comes back to score 7 consecutive goals to defeat the Flames 7-3, knocking out Calgary. Dallas advances, and so we know that there will be a Dallas-Colorado matchup in the second round. And then you talk about today, Philadelphia-Montreal, that's going to be at 4 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Eastern, and then St. Louis-Vancouver is 9:45 Eastern, 6:45 Pacific. And you mentioned it, we know now Dallas-Colorado will be one Western Conference matchup, and whoever wins in the series between St. Louis and Vancouver will face the Golden Knights. Now here's the kicker. Vancouver is leading in the series. If Vancouver wins today, it's possible, not for sure, but possible that they could start that series on Sunday. Vegas and Vancouver on Sunday. Possible. Meanwhile, if St. Louis wins tonight and extends the series to Game 7, that Game 7 is scheduled for Sunday, which means the Golden Knights will not be able to play. So in other words, the Golden Knights could play as early as Sunday to start round two, or perhaps as late as Tuesday. So we don't know, but we at least know now that it is down to St. Louis and Vancouver. So, Shane, where do you want to start with this, with all the action that's gone on here in the last couple of days, from the craziness of yesterday to what's on tap for today? It's worth pointing out, with Calgary losing that game 7-3 after taking a 3-0 lead, it has never happened in NHL history before, a playoff game where a team that trailed by three came back to take a four-goal lead. That's never happened before.
And we see shifts of momentum in these games, but this was a shift unlike any other where the Flames had no answer. Well, probably a save might have helped. They tried changing goaltenders.
Yeah,
that
what,
didn't help.
What did you think about changing the goaltender when the game was tied?
It was interesting. And, you know, I'm a big Jeff Ward fan. I had him as an assistant coach when I was with Boston winning the Stanley Cup. I knew you needed a timeout then. And, you know, his explanation after was he was planning to put Talbot back in. But Talbot had gone back to the room to cool off. And when he looked for him, it was kind of – you know, I think there was a lack of communication there. He should have said, okay, you know, Cam, just take a breather here. We're going to 2 minutes. We're going to throw you back in. Kind of Mike Keenan style, the old switching the goaltenders just to get a timeout so you don't waste your timeout.
Right, yeah.
And then I'm hearing Riddick was wearing new equipment, which I don't know why a goalie would in that situation. You never know. But he wasn't very good. And, you know, early on, it was 3-0 Calgary. Dallas had yet to get a shot on goal.
Yeah, they had a 3-0 lead 7 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and then Milan Lucic took a bad penalty. Another guy I've got a lot of time, former teammate. But
and he's been great in this postseason.
He's been great, but it's just a mental lapse. You can't do that. You got everything going your way. Power play goal by Dallas. But I never – you don't critique a whole loss on one single play. They had an intermission where they're up 3-1.
Right, it's 3-1, exactly. Yeah.
To reset, and then they come out, and it just – from there, it just spiraled. They never – came back. I thought that intermission starting the second, and credit to the Dallas Stars, a team that during the season was second in goals against and couldn't score goals. Well, you look at this series and it was outrageous. To me, though, this series, Dan, you go back to game four, this was where it was lost for the Flames. 11 seconds left. Joe Pavelski tied the game.
Oof, yeah.
To tie, and then Dallas wins in overtime. Pavelski had the hat trick game. It would have been 3-1 Calgary in the series. That tied it at 2, and the Stars, I think they carried the momentum. They pretty much had it all the way through, other than that opening 7 minutes against the Flames in which they scored 3 goals. And, it was shocking. It was almost
– shocking, yes.
I watched the majority. I turned it off with 10 minutes left in the third. I'm like, this is – it's getting painful to watch. The Flames have nothing. No answer.
No. Oh, my gosh. It was over sometime in the second period.
Just deflated. And
Gurianov gets his fourth goal, by the way.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
I mean, that's the only thing you might have seen if you watched the third period, because there was nothing else going on.
But it just shows, you know, the importance of being able to take back a piece of the game. I always think of the game five, the Golden Knights, how big that goal by Pacioretty late in the second period was to switch the momentum. You need to be able to switch momentum in a game to grab it back. And that was probably the worst display of trying to grab it back by the Calgary Flames, is they could not do anything. They just fell back. You could tell by the body language of the team. And it'll be interesting this offseason what happens with that organization. Some well-paid players up front. Of course, they were missing one of their best in Matthew Tkachuk.
They were showing camera shots of him.
His reactions were great.
Oh, yeah, that was entertaining. It was the most entertaining thing for the Flames after the first period was Tkachuk's reaction. But the word momentum, everybody's got a take, whether it's a player, a coach, whomever, has a feel for what momentum means within a game.
Yes.
From game to game, within a series, from series to series. And different coaches have said, you know, it's within a game, but I don't necessarily believe in it from game to game. But we're now adding another wrinkle, Shane. Momentum without the benefit of A, crowds, and B, shifting sights in a series. In other words, you play a couple of games on the road, and then you get the emotional boost of going back to your home city in normal times. But those two things do not exist right now. So whether it's applicable to this Dallas-Calgary series or that game, what are your thoughts on those new wrinkles in the word we call momentum?
Well, it shows the importance of team chemistry, of veteran leadership, of the core guys being able to step up, the buy-in by the team to put yourself – physically is so demanding, but this more than ever is a mental challenge, being in the bubble, just living it first and foremost for these players. I think the teams that collectively are together and have been able to do it, I don't think you can have clicks like you sometimes get in a team, some guys doing this and this. I think it's got to be as a group. And it goes more than just on the ice. I think off the ice is so important. And we've seen recently the Golden Knights getting out, doing certain things, talking about fun committees.
The fun committees.
And we know because we get an inside look more at the Golden Knights than we do other teams. But this is a team that is tight-knit. And that is very important in this scenario, that it carries off the ice, which carries on the ice. And a team that that understands, no matter the situation in the game, they feel comfortable in one another, with different voices stepping up, creating your own energy, creating and changing your own momentum, as you use that word, is so important. And I think the Golden Knights, when you look at their body of work so far, what I've really liked, other than the record, which has been great, but the way in which they've won games. They've had to play different style games, and it started for me in round robin against Dallas. That comeback in the third period built a level of confidence that we're never going to be out of a game. If we get back to our game, and we've seen that throughout, it's hard. You're going to see a team carry the play for 60 minutes. The other team's trying to win. Yeah. I say that all the time. They've got good players. They're going to grab pieces of that game too. But your ability to take it back, especially at important times, to have different guys step up, and that has really been what the Golden Knights have shown here through round one, and it's something they're going to continue if they want to have a long run.
And then there's just the unexpected of, you know, Dallas, when we saw them play against the Golden Knights. I think if there was a team from the top four in the West, yeah, the round robin, you're thinking, well, which team is least likely to advance in the first round? And who would have picked the Dallas Stars to three times score five goals or more against the Calgary Flames? They lost the first game of that series 3-2. Then they won 5-4. They lost 2-0. Won 5-4 in overtime. 1-2-1, and then I mentioned the seven-goal output. I mean, who would have pegged Dallas to be scoring all these goals?
And who isn't? And if they were, who would you have leading?
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, who have been, and Radulov, have been non-existent.
Right.
You know, Gurionov, four goals.
Miro
Heiskanen is just phenomenal. Yeah. An elite young star defenseman. Four-point game for him. John Klingberg has stepped up. Yeah, it's been interesting to watch this Dallas Stars. And they've done it without their goaltender, Ben Bishop.
Yeah.
Hudobin stepped in.
And he's been very good. And think about this. The Dallas Stars had never had a postseason hat trick. And then they get two in the span of a few days. Pavelski and then obviously Gurionov with four goals in the contest yesterday. Wow. So Dallas, we know, will face Colorado.
Here's your prize for winning.
Yeah, and Colorado, while Arizona did manage a victory in that series, after watching the last two games, you wonder how Arizona managed to even score a goal because the Avalanche were just overwhelming. And based on Rick Tocchet's reaction in Game 4, you would have expected something of a pushback in Game 5. But the Avalanche had other ideas.
Well, and it's not, and I talked about it earlier, it's not only the on-ice play, it's the teams that really want it. It is, the focus is more than it's ever been because you don't have the crowds, you don't have anything to elevate that play. And Arizona, I think Colorado's the better team, but I don't think it was to that extent. And the only win they got was because of their goaltender, Darcy Kemper, who you felt bad for, was under siege.
Especially in that last game, you were wondering when he was going to get the mercy pull.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be a tall task for the Dallas Stars. They're going to have to get back to more of their regular season form defensively if they want to have a chance against the Avalanche.
You can't imagine Dallas winning in a track meet with the Avalanche.
No, I don't think anybody wants to get in a track meet with the Avalanche. They just, too much firepower. There's a certain style you need to play them. And it is each and every team. You've got to really want to be there. You've got to be really dialed in. Your focus mentally is something. And I think that the teams that are going on are the ones that are most mentally focused for this situation, this unique situation of play in which all these players have to deal with.
There are other series we're going to touch on. We've got a special announcement coming up in just a little bit. Eric Tosi, Golden Knights Vice President of Communications and Content, will join us live to make that special an announcement, so you're not going to want to miss that. We're also going to dive into some other aspects of the Stanley Cup playoffs and get you set for round two. Will it be St. Louis? Will it be Vancouver? Get you set for that Game 6 later today. Also, Philadelphia and Montreal at Game 6 later this afternoon. You're listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Dan Duva, Shane Knighty with you here at Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. On this Friday, the 21st of August, it's 12:18 in the Valley. Glad you could join us. We're getting ready for the Golden Knights' second round. Who they will face and when they will face them, we do not know, but we are getting ready for the second round nonetheless. We spent the last segment talking about some of the action in the Western Conference. We now know that Colorado will be facing Dallas in the second round. Vegas plays the winner of St. Louis and Vancouver, and Game 6 of that series is today. Over in the Eastern Conference, Shane, well, the Washington Capitals, not quite the same team we saw a couple of years ago in the Stanley Cup Final, and we know Barry Trotz had left Washington after the Cup, and Todd Reirden taken over, and they have yet to find a postseason series victory since they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. They are ousted by the New York Islanders 4-0 and their former head coach, Barry Trotz. Washington Capitals are heading home.
It's interesting you said Barry Trotz left the Wild. He left after they won the Cup, and it was more of a force than left, unwilling to pay him after they won the Stanley Cup. He moved on to the New York Islanders, so that carried a lot more weight in this series as Trotz was facing his former team, who he talked about his special connection he had with the core players in Washington, the Ovechkin, the Holtbys. The Capitals just didn't show up. It was win or go home, and they certainly looked like they were ready to go home. It looked like their time was up. That said, the Islanders play a demoralizing game for their opponents. They really take away your will to play. They are very structured. I think one of Barry Trotz's strengths is his ability to get buy-in. So the Islanders, it's not exciting hockey, but they play. They're good on their forecheck. They are structurally sound in all elements of the game. Every team has their structure they want to play, but the Islanders really buy in. I think that's Trotz's strength, is to get his guys to really commit to the style they want to play. The Islanders have, I think, kind of a under the radar type defense that's really good, big. They play a heavy game, a quick game, but it's so structured. And I think the Capitals almost said, well, this is too hard. It's too hard to get through this. That's enough for us. We'll go out of the bubble. And at least that's what it looked like. And that's what their coach, Todd Reirden, kind of mentioned after the game.
Well, we heard a little bit about this with some of the Boston Bruins players in the qualifying round, say the round robin games. These are more like exhibitions, but they figured it out. And now the Bruins look like the Bruins again. The Washington Capitals become the first higher seed to get knocked out. Could happen to St. Louis tonight. Who knows? Montreal could beat Philadelphia, right? These are possibilities, but Washington as the first favored team to get knocked out. Does that tell you anything, Shane, about, you know, the reseeding thing here, the round robin versus the qualifying series and how that's playing out?
Tells me the Islanders wanted it more. And to win the Stanley Cup, and we touched on this in the first segment, I said it's as much as it is physical, it is a mental grind. And it is even more so this year, the situation these players are in, being in the bubble, no fans, all those elements against them. You have to be ready to go. You have to be able to take your mind. Your mindset has to be at a new level. And I think the teams that have done that have been the ones that have come out on top. And that was the New York Islanders. You could tell they were ready. And they were playing for their coach. Barry Trotz really gets his guys behind him. And I just think Washington, you know, Ovechkin kind of took over game four. If it hadn't been for that, it was probably going to be a sweep.
Speaking of playing for your coach, Montreal Canadiens without Claude Julien, back in Montreal undergoing a heart procedure. And, of course, we here wish Claude very well and hope for a speedy recovery. His Canadiens have made an impression on the Philadelphia Flyers and head coach Alain Vigneault. Philadelphia winning the first game 2-1, and then Montreal winning 5-0 in game two. Then the Flyers shut out the Canadiens in game three, so they had a 2-1 series lead. They got another shutout win in game four, so they were up 3-1. Montreal survived, beating the Flyers 5-3 the other day, and so you've got game six on tap this afternoon, and then if necessary, game seven is on Sunday. So, Shane, what stands out to you from this Montreal-Philadelphia series?
Well, wasn't last game was exciting. It was a bit of a few dull games, back-to-back shutout wins for the Philadelphia Flyers after Montreal kind of embarrassed them, which, you know, there's a kind of behind-the-scenes battle with the coaches. Alain Vigneault, after he criticized after his team lost that big victory about the Montreal Canadiens putting out their power play late when the team was already embarrassed. That was number one. Now, Brendan Gallagher, who is the type of player that gets under the skin, he was benched by Kirk Muller in game four, was not happy about it, voiced his displeasure, came out in game five and was the hardest working player, got back to the Brendan Gallagher type player. His team goes on for a win, but takes a hit from Matt Niskanen.
He got cross-checked in the face.
Which was only one game, which I think is light.
Right.
And they relate one playoff game to about four regular season. I think it should have lasted at least two because that takes
care of
this.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get
seven. Two would make sense, but it's a tough job.
And there was no penalty on the play. The officials missed it. So you got Gallagher the rest of the game. He's got blood coming out of his mouth, and he's barking at anybody who will listen, the officials, the other team. It made for entertaining television, and Montreal, of course, prevails in the game.
Yeah, so Brendan Gallagher, broken jaw surgery, he is out. Alain Vigneault now chirping again about maybe he got up and he was yapping too much. Maybe that extended the injury along those lines. So it's always good to fuel the fire in playoffs. It's great to watch from the outside because this just adds a little more, as you never really considered Montreal, Boston, Montreal, Toronto, these rivalries that have been around. Well, I think we're now seeing an actual Montreal Philadelphia rivalry, and this adds to it. It certainly does when you're a player and you hear things like that. Montreal is going to be geared up. I don't think it's smart for a coach to give ammunition to the opposition.
Not when you're the favorite team.
No. And he's done it twice. But it worked, I guess, the first time because it kind of maybe he was trying to fire his team. This one shocks me a bit, and Canadians will be ready to go, and I'll be tuned in to see if the Canadians can take this to seven.
And again, Montreal has managed to put up five goals in a game twice in this series. Again, when you're thinking about the goaltending matchup, Hart versus Carey Price, you might have expected Carey Price to steal a couple of games. Anyhow, we'll see if today Montreal can once again survive and extend that series against the Philadelphia Flyers. One of two games today. The other one is, as mentioned, St. Louis-Vancouver, and the Canucks can become the second lower seed to advance with a victory today. That puck drop is set for 6:45. Shane, what do you make of how the Canucks have managed to put the Blues on the brink?
Impressive. I thought the Blues had gotten back to their game to being the Stanley Cup champions. I think they're still a very dangerous team. You're looking at two different styles. I think the Canucks, young, speed. There's some fearlessness to their game in certain players. Elias Pettersson, who's going to be a star, the way he handles the puck up front. Quinn Hughes, a dynamic offensive-minded defenseman who looks like he's about 17 years old, but just what he does with the puck, his puck possession time, his creativity is very impressive. And then Bo Horvat reminds me of a young Jonathan Toews, who's kind of that captain, that dial, like just plays desperate in every situation.
He's got
willpower.
A will that
he's
is
got a
unmatched.
Will. That's a great. He's got a will that's unmatched to compete. And they've been able to add some nice pieces. JT Miller's looked really good for them. The Canucks, and then I should mention maybe their biggest piece, Jacob Markstrom, who was 5-on-5 right now. His goals against, his save percentage is a 9.53 in 5-on-5 situation.
Wow.
That is, when you can get those timely saves, which he has been able to do against the Blues, and Vancouver's been able to provide it. But that said, this St. Louis team, there's some experience there. They can, they can go to the well. They've been in these situations. They've been in this type of grind. It'll be fun to watch this series unfold because it is kind of two different styles, and we'll see which comes out because it'll be who meets the Golden Knights.
That makes it all the more interesting for us. And again, we don't know when round two might begin. However, if game seven is necessary, that would be Sunday, which means the Golden Knights could not possibly play the winner on Sunday. The series wouldn't be over yet. However, it's possible if Vancouver wins today and closes out the series, it's possible that they could start round two against the Golden Knights on Sunday. Official word to be announced.
Could they move that? Could they change it if the other series gets closed out? We've seen them move things around. I'm just curious about it to get to the next round. Like you said, this is unique. Everything's right there for them. They can just say, okay, you guys are up tomorrow.
Yeah, walk across the hallway.
Go ahead, get some sleep. You guys are, I don't
know. We don't have to worry about
airplane
travel.
We'll have to ask somebody a lot smarter than us if that's possible.
Yeah, so we'll see. But it's very much sounding like Colorado-Dallas for Saturday, right? They don't have a – oh, they do have a puck drop now. It is set for 5 o'clock Saturday, Dallas-Colorado, to begin that series, and that is straight from the NHL's media site. So that is there. I'm looking at it right now. I was not aware of that, but there it
before,
is.
It's, before the other team might be done in round one
apparently,
or round two?
Apparently. There it is.
Oh, hey, anything that gives me more games on TV, I'm good with.
Yeah, well, I think that they want to keep the momentum going, and for the moment,
absolutely,
there are no games scheduled for Saturday otherwise. Obviously today, as mentioned, Philadelphia, Montreal, and then St. Louis, Vancouver later today. Before we get to our special announcement coming up with Eric Tosi, Golden Knights VP of Communications and Content, I want to tell you about the Folded Flag Foundation and the 5149 online raffle. It is back for the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. The Folded Flag Foundation is hosting this online raffle presented by Raising Cane's, and they present it for each round of the playoffs in which the Golden Knights participate. Fans living in Nevada can purchase raffle tickets online at the following website, foldedflag.bump5050.com. Again, the website, foldedflag.bump5050.com. We'll be right back. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hey fans, you can eat like a Golden Knight as you watch your Golden Knights play. A limited number of to-go packs are available at Mackenzie River Pizza for pre-ordering during each Golden Knights playoff game. $50 gets you a large pizza, two salads, lodge poles, and 4 7-5 Brewing Company beers. Tasty. Player favorite pizzas are 15% on game days. Here's the phone number, 702-916-2999. Again, the number for Mackenzie River Pizza Grill and Pub, 702-916-2999. Dan Duvashay-Knighty here for Nighttime at Noon. It's 12:33 Pacific time. Glad you could be with us today, taking you to 1 o'clock. Don't forget later on, it'll be the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace, 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Great to have that programming with our flagship station here, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, Fox Sports, Las Vegas. And who knows, we could have a game broadcast on Sunday. Speaking of broadcasting, Shane, did you know that yesterday was National Radio Day?
I did.
National Radio Day. We love radio here. We're on the radio, and we're bringing in someone who knows a thing or two about broadcasting and radio. He is the Vegas Golden Knights Vice President of Communications and Content. He is Eric Tosi. Hello, Eric.
Hi, guys. Dan,
Eric,
Shane, great to see you.
Good to see you, and thank you for coming by. And you did leak the announcement to us during the break, so now we know what it is. But our people listening do not yet know what the announcement is, and I don't want to step on your toes or spoil the announcement. So, Eric, what is the news?
Very exciting news regarding the Henderson Silver Knights and the broadcast plans for next year. We're proud to announce today that all Henderson Silver Knights games, preseason, regular season, postseason, will be broadcast live on the Lotus Family Networks, 12:30 a.m., the game. So it'll be on the AM dial, 12:30 a.m. Again, that's all Silver Knights games. We'll have 30-minute pregame, 30-minute postgame, and also a weekly insider program similar to the one we have here. It'll be 1 hour to start, but who knows what happens down the road. It might evolve into something bigger, as we've seen with the VGK insider program.
Fantastic. And great. Just a word that will be released publicly in a moment from the general manager over at Lotus Broadcasting, Natalie Marsh, says, "We are so excited to expand our partnership with the Vegas Golden Knights to include the Henderson Silver Knights. The sports landscape in Southern Nevada has grown, and we are proud and honored to grow with it. We look forward to bringing the listeners' coverage of the Henderson Silver Knights on 12:30 the game." Again, those words from the general manager at Lotus Broadcasting, Natalie Marsh. And Eric, of course, the relationship that we've had with Lotus since before the Golden Knights ever had a game, Lotus was the partner. I think even before Shane and I were on board, we had a partnership
before
with
us.
Lotus. Yeah.
Yeah, Lotus have been day one partners of the Golden Knights, and they've been fantastic. And if you look at just the evolution and the growth of radio programming here in the Valley, It's been outstanding. And to see, it started out just to have a weekly one-hour VGK Insider program, and we've seen how that evolved. It's now 2 hours drive time from 4 to 6.
5 days a week.
5 days a week. Now we have this nighttime at noon program, which has been superb to be able to follow what's going on, not just with the Golden Knights, but around the league. And the Henderson Silver Knights now at 12:30 the game is going to be the next step in that evolution. Dan, you've been on the front lines post-game, the post-game show. The post-game show is extended, you know. So they've been fantastic partners and so supportive of what we have going on here.
And I also want to add, and we don't mention him often enough, but on the Spanish play-by-play side, Jesus Lopez on our Deporte station, also part of the family here, with Lotus. I mean, that is an offering that most NHL franchises don't have.
Yeah, that was an important priority for us from day one, his engagement with the Hispanic and Latino community here in Vegas. And Jesus has been such a great ambassador for the organization and an outstanding call.
Yeah, he's better than the rest of us. I wish I could understand Spanish just so I could understand what he's saying.
That's creative.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite, though, I got to tell you this, because I don't understand a lot of it, but he's so inventive. Instead of just saying, "Oh, there's a battle for the puck in the corner," he describes it as they're mixing up salsa in the corner. Like, that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, there was that one clip from the Valiant documentary. He's talking about chopping up onions and
mixing. Exactly. And again, our guest is Eric Tosi, Golden Knights VP of Communications and Content, talking about extending the broadcast partnership with the Lotus folks, our flagship radio station, of course, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. And as Eric has told us now, the Henderson Silver Knights, the AHL club, also now part of this group. And those games will air on 12:30 The Game. That's KLAV, The Game, 12:30 AM here in Las Vegas. I also am curious, Eric, what else is going on with the Henderson Silver Knights? Because we know that the season isn't going to start in October as it normally would. What are some of the other things going on with the Henderson AHL franchise?
Sure. It's been a busy few months just with planning. And if you look back to the Vegas Golden Knights launch and all the behind-the-scenes work that goes on into bringing a franchise and bringing a brand to life. So we did the name and logo unveil, which was great at the end of May. Held a safe and secure in-person select-a-seat event down at the Orleans. I worked with the county and the Orleans to make sure that was done safely. And, Dan, we received over 9,500 deposits for season tickets, and that conversion process has started as well with that select-a-seat event.
9,500.
Which is incredible.
I mean, just for a point of reference, most American Hockey League arenas are not even close to that size capacity, especially the Eastern Conference venues, which are traditionally old and smaller. But, I mean, that's amazing. I would think that a lot of other AHL franchises would be quite jealous of that number.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show the support and demand here and just the passion that this community has for hockey. And, again, it's 9,500 and starting to convert, and people are going to be, locking in their deposits for the Orleans and then for what's going on for the Henderson Event Center project, too, which demolition just began on that this past week. So that's moving forward. Lifeguard Arena scheduled to open on schedule, on target here in the fall.
And point of reference, Eric, just so we know, is there a capacity for the Orleans Arena and the eventual arena? Do we have numbers for that yet, approximately?
Yeah, not exactly, but it'll be approximately 7,500 at the Orleans, and then it'll go down to 6,000 for the Henderson Event Center.
And that's more typical of the American Hockey League, just where my stop in Syracuse was 6,099. And then you also have that is the fixed seating capacity, as we know, because there are often overflow crowds and standing room crowds. Yeah.
Well, I think it's great, and Eric's talked about it. It really speaks to the passion. And then how long ago was it? Hockey won't work in the desert or in Vegas, and it's incredible to me is hockey, and we've all been in it our whole lives. Me, maybe a little bit longer, as you guys at least went away and did college and stuff. I just played the game. But part of the draw here, and to see, and this is a credit to all our listeners, everybody that follows hockey, how this sport has become so important here in Vegas. Now to have an American Hockey League team and the AHL, having gone through it and played in the American Hockey League, we saw its impact this past year with guys coming up. We're seeing them now. Like, imagine the ability to go and watch Nick Waugh and Patrick Brown, these guys, and you see them now. You feel a connection when you see them. Okay, now they're on the Golden Knights. There's a little extra cheer. I think it's the chance for people to be able to see the American Hockey League, to see these players develop in the best development league there is possible. And then you watch the growth. They kind of become like your little projects. You're like, and you'll have your favorites. Like, and that's what the hockey fan wants. That's where the passion is drive.
It's grassroots hockey.
It is.
And we love the National Hockey League. It's what we see on TV. The Golden Knights capture not only attention across America, across North America, and around the world. Whereas, you know, outside of your local city, your community, minor league teams don't typically have that reach. Only a monumental run like the Norfolk Admirals won 28 in a row. That's the only way that you're going to have a minor league team garner national attention. But it is because of that that communities fall so closely in love with their community's team. It's just, it's more, it's tighter. It's more intimate. There's something special. I miss being in the minors. I mean, I don't miss the long bus rides and sleeping on the floor and all that.
I do. I love that.
but I think we look back on those times and we remember how special they were for us, but also the people. I think about, you know, the booster club that would come to send us off with snacks and, you know, custom pillowcases and things like that. And that's what I think allows the American Hockey League, Eric, to have a certain intimacy with the fans. American Hockey Leaguers are more accessible to the fan. When you are coming up and you haven't quite reached the promised land of the major leagues quite yet, there's something more accessible about it. And I think it'll be neat to have that experience again here in Las Vegas, which a city that, of course, does have a minor league hockey history.
For sure. And the value is going to be there, too. You know, you're going to be able to get into the door for $10. Average price is going to be around $30.
Exactly. And that's part of being accessible. Yeah. I mean, holy cow. You can't go to the movies for that.
Right. And you know, we've throughout this whole planning, you know, we fully acknowledge that, you know, the Henderson Silver Knights will be in the minor league. But that's really going to be the only minor league association with the organization, that we're not going to be minor league in our service. We're not going to be minor league in our experience. And not going to be minor league in our execution, you know. So the fan experience, is it going to be as grandiose as what you see at the Fortress? You know, probably not, but there's still going to be some fun elements. And Dan, to your point, what the AHL is able to do is have, you know, additional theme nights and be a, you know, really a blank slate for creativity.
And I'll tell you, just working with so many folks in the ECHL, the AHL, Shane, you played in the ECHL, the AHL, the IHL. were there others too? I'm not sure.
No, I think that's it.
But I'll tell you that there is a certain, I don't want to say, you know, how can I put this? While technically, yes, the AHL, the ECHL, the IHL, these are minor leagues compared to the NHL, which is the major league, the folks who operate and live in the AHL world, the ECHL world, they don't use the term minor league for all of the reasons you just listed, Eric. And David Andrews, the outgoing president of the American Hockey League, who was there for a quarter century as the president, prior to that was a GM for one of the franchises. It is the second best hockey league in the world. It is the feeder program to the National Hockey League. There's not the competition there once was with the IHL and all those battles. But it is, there's not a place in the world you can go to find hockey at a higher caliber than the American Hockey League, with the obvious exception of the NHL.
Yeah, and you guys know, Shane. I mean, look at the roster right now with the Golden Knights, and you see Patrick Brown, you see Nick Waugh, you see Shea Theodore,
Alex Tuck. Shea Theodore. Let's not forget they
started. That's where your fans are going to be able to watch those guys right when they're on the precipice, right when they're knocking on the door of the NHL, and that's
Mark
exciting.
Stone played in the American Hockey League. You can go. The majority of the players have to come through that.
It was all but Stasny, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And that's what's amazing. You go through the each team, not only here that are remaining, but all 31 and soon to be 32 clubs. I mean, a huge percentage of the players on each roster will have spent at least some time in the American Hockey League. Okay, so that's the hockey side, Eric. We know, I mean, talk about bizarre times to launch a franchise. A hard thing to do in the first place. We're doing it here in the midst of a pandemic. What is next on the agenda? What's coming up on the Henderson Silver Knights side of the organization?
Sure. So the communication from the league has been that the season will not start before December 4th. So we know that, but there's a lot of uncertainty. Look, we want to be realistic about that. But despite the unknowns and the uncertainty, there's still some exciting developments that are planned for the next probably 8 weeks or so. So we have this announcement today about the radio deal, which is great. Henderson Event Center demolition again began this week, so that construction project is moving along. We'll have our jerseys unveiled in the next probably 2 months.
That logo is awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
they're just fantastic.
The logo, the identity, the cult, everything, it's perfect.
Yeah, but mascot, again, all these random things that you may not
I love that billboard
about.
With the Golden Knights and the Knights Silver
Hockey.
Knights. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. And then Lifeguard Arena, too. On Water Street down in Henderson. That's going to be opening up right on schedule. We'll have a confirmed date announced in the next little bit here, but... those are four really significant things that, regardless of when the season starts, those are going to happen.
What's it like for you to be involved in two different franchises at the same time?
Yeah, there's a lot of us. I think we've all been involved in the planning, and it's exciting. Hopefully, we get to continue a deep playoff run with the Vegas Golden Knights, and there's a lot of us that are moving things forward on the Silver Knights side. So it's just Shane brought it up earlier, and we talked about it, but it really just shows just the level of excitement and passion for hockey here, and just the growth. And nobody who came here, not even Bill Foley, who would have thought that
Bill,
would have imagined that that Vegas is a hockey town.
It's a hockey town.
Yeah. It sure is. Well, that is Eric Tosi, Golden Knights Vice President of Communications and Content, telling us that Lotus Broadcasting has a special multi-year partnership, not only with the Golden Knights, but also now the Henderson Silver Knights, and one of their radio stations, 1230 The Game, will be carrying all broadcasts, preseason, regular season, postseason, a one-hour weekly insider show. All Silver Knights-related programming will be on 1230 The Game AM, that's KLAV, through our partners over at Lotus Broadcasting. Eric Tosi, thanks again for coming by.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
It's fun.
I'm selfishly so excited about it because I never get to take my son to a game because I'm always working or was always playing. This will be the first time ever I'll be able to sit back and kind of be a fan.
There you go. Well, we look forward to that. We look forward to Henderson Silver Knights hockey coming up and Vegas Golden Knights hockey, which could be as soon as Sunday. We've got a little bit more to talk about before our hour is up. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Nighttime at Noon rolls along. Dan Duva, Shane Knighty here. Golden Knights readying for round two, and with a few days between series, Golden Knights general manager Kelly McCrimmon spoke with the media yesterday afternoon, and here's just a little snippet of what he had to say.
The two guys you mentioned probably would prefer to be called fun-loving as opposed to goofballs. But that said, they were day one guys with our organization, and they bring an energy day in and day out. Jonathan Marchessault, I've always admired because he seizes the big moments. He's had a career of people telling him that he couldn't be an NHL player. He's turned himself into a really good one, a really effective one. And Nate Schmidt, from the time he stepped on the ice with us, has been a core piece on our hockey club as well. I think when you make trades and you bring people in, you need to make sure what type of person you're bringing in. But at the same time, any person coming into an organization, if it's a good organization, they want to conform and be part of that group and share the same objectives that the team does. And any of those players that came in, we acquired them because we think they improve our chances of winning. So that makes them feel good about being part of it as well.
There's Kelly McCrimmon. So Shane Knighty, the question is, would you rather be a goofball or fun-loving?
I think fun-loving is a little better, but I could see where the other term. But it really goes back to our conversation earlier in the show about how important as a team, you've got to have different personalities. You've got to have that leadership and every little, characteristic of someone that they can bring that helps you in this situation that they're in. And those two guys, Jonathan Marchessault and Nate Schmidt, it's great to have guys that can make you laugh for whatever reason, that you need to have that in a room.
A little irreverence.
And not that. So Marchessault's the guy that, I'll call it Fringlish. There's going to be certain things he says that are going to make people laugh because he likes to talk.
That's true.
That's great. So he's going to do it whether he's trying or not. He's a guy that likes to chirp, to have fun. And then Nate Schmidt, there's going to be days you wake up and like, oh. And Nate Schmidt wakes up every day like the sun's shining, the birds are chirping. It's the best day in the world. His energy is infectious. So fun-loving, important pieces to this team, not only on the ice, but off the ice.
I think we each could offer stories of our own experiences with whether it's Marchessault and Schmidt or other fun-loving guys that you've had in other stops. I just can't help but think about Western Conference Final Game 5, Vegas in Winnipeg. Jonathan was to be our radio pregame guest, and Jonathan wanted to not only do the pregame interview with me, but he also wanted to get his massage work done.
Oh, he needed a massage before the game.
And so he did the interview with me while on the massage table and getting work done. We have, I think Eric took some photographs of that. Eric does it all. That was a picture that I'll never forget. And I've known Jonathan quite a long time. But, you know, even in those seemingly tense moments, yeah. There
and
he
they've
is.
Got guys like that. You have to have that mix. You're going to have your intense guys that are all business all the time. They need a Nate Schmidt or a Jonathan Marchessault. So that's, you know, I've played with both sides of it, and it's funny how those two can get along so well when they're, you know, the opposite sides of the spectrum in as far as personality.
Most fun-loving guy you've ever played with?
Most, you know, I played with a guy named Andre Waugh, and I'm sure you heard his name bounced around in Ottawa. He was the French guy, the goofball. He was
something
Joker.
About those French guys.
He was a lot of fun. Eric Bolton was a fun guy. I played with Serge Aubin. In Boston, we had a few that, you know, I like the young guys to have fun with them, like a young Brad Marchand and Tyler Seguin. I like having fun with them. They're young and new and. Jason Spezza as a rookie was it. We used to call him a young goofy kid. Now he's like the old guy in Toronto, but
grizzled veteran,
always laughing, always smiling. Milan Lucic as a 19-year-old was more than one of the happiest guys ever to be in the league, and in awe every game he's playing these guys. He was a spectacular 19-year-old in the NHL who had a everyday excitement.
We've only got a minute left, Shane. St. Louis, Vancouver today. If Vancouver wins, Golden Knights will play the Canucks in the second round. Could be as soon as Sunday. Thoughts, what will be on your eye looking at tonight's game?
Well, I think they don't want to open it up. So we'll see the Vancouver. I'm going to watch their game tonight. They're a team that needs to get speed. They've got, as we mentioned, young guys that go. I think Travis Green's done a real good job coaching that team. And the biggest X factor for the Vancouver Canucks, which was all season long, Jacob Markstrom, their goaltender. Really good, big goaltender, 6'6", 6'7", covers a lot of the net and has a lot of confidence.
Don't forget, you can get your watch party kit online at VegasTeamStore.com. You can bring the spirit of the fortress home during the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs with a watch party kit, Golden Knights, battle towels, noisemakers, temporary tattoos, and more. Get your kit at the Arsenal or online at VegasTeamStore.com. Again, coming up today, you've got a couple of games, Montreal and Philadelphia, St. Louis and Vancouver. That'll do it for the show today. For Shane Knighty, Dan Duva saying so long, and on we go.